a discussion on spiritual oppression in the Native community, and your childhood memories, the subject of a holiday exhibit. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell, in for Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more, up next.
Most Northern Native people have had their traditional spirituality squeezed out of them. That's according to Jana Harchurik, director of the North Slope Borough School District's Inupiaq Education Department. She spoke last week as part of the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's Native Spirituality Lecture Series. Harchurik told her audience that her culture, including its spirituality, was almost destroyed by churches and schools.
As has been the case with many Indigenous peoples across the world, the attempt through education was to assimilate the Inupiat into mainstream society, and a variety of methods were used, including the oppression of language, the oppression of spiritual beliefs, the oppression of song and dance, which resulted in a varying degrees of success on their part.
That led to pressure on the school system to teach what many had lost.
It's their birthright to know their history, and as a school district, we had been depriving them of their history. And through the loss of our storytelling, we had been depriving them of our creation and origin stories.
Harchurik says about 6 years ago, educators decided to reach out. They traveled to North Slope communities to confer with elders.
We were able to go back to where we had been before schools were ever established, before missions ever came to the Arctic, and confer with our elders about what it is and how it is and what it is that we did to instill beliefs, to instill the sense of being a contributing member of society before schools ever came.
An Inupiaq education initiative was formed. It included a cross-generational panel that came up with what a young adult should know about their people's spirituality, culture, and history. It also included contemporary Native history and roles in a modern world. New curriculums were developed and continue to be added to students' classwork. Harchurik says that includes training for new teachers without an understanding of the culture. The program has not been without controversy, since some see it as going against Christian values. She says that's not the case.
We're not preaching or teaching kids how to be shamans in the first place. In the same way that we don't, in school, teach children how to be a Catholic or a Muslim or a Hindu.
She says the program teaches students about traditional spirituality and they make their own choices.
Ask the kids around you what's on their holiday wish list this year, and you might wonder, whatever happened to wood spinning tops, cap guns, lead soldiers, candy cigarettes?
What would you like for Christmas?
Horrified. I heard myself blurted out.
I want an official Red Ryder Cup in action 200-year Waynesville era.
You'll find out exactly what happened to those old relics at an upcoming museum event. The Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center in Haines is checking your old Christmas list twice with this year's holiday exhibit.
Every year the museum has an open house for Christmas, and I think people are accustomed to trains. But this year we're doing something a little different, and it's a call to the community to contribute their antique toys.
Andrea Nelson is organizing the special collection, displaying your vintage toys, and is looking for contributions.
We're looking for anything pre-1980, so that could be 1900 or 1950. So depending on what decade, different kind of toys were popular. You know, tin toys were very popular for a spell, and different board games. Twister was invented in the 60s, that would qualify. You know, old dolls, balls, jacks, old board games, stuffed animals.
Antique technically refers to products older than 50 years, but Nelson says they're asking for toys at least three decades old.
Of course, the joke is antique is referring in this sense to anything pre-1980, which seems a little young, but we wanted to incorporate people in their 30s. I don't know, 10 years ago, I saw my own grade school Orphan Annie lunchbox in an antique store. For a lot more money than I'm sure my mom ever paid for it.
The temporary exhibit seeks only to borrow your old toys, caring for them as if they were artifacts while under the museum's care. They'll be labeled and protected and not handled by the public while on display.
Christmas has an association to toys, and kids love toys, but I think adults too have a nostalgia, at least for toys. So we hope to pull in people to bring in their toys and a story alongside them if there is one.
The museum is accepting vintage loaner toys for the two-week exhibit starting now during business hours. The antique toy exhibit will be on display December 2nd through 14th with the Sheldon Museum Christmas Open House on December 14th. Call the museum at 766-2688 for details. It's easy to argue that the healthcare industry is an important part of Southeast Alaska's economy. Hospitals are major employers, if not the largest employers, in many of the region's communities. And then there are other services, such as air ambulances and clinics. But while some operations are expanding, others are cutting back, and that's left some medical staffers without a job. As part of an ongoing Coast Alaska series on healthcare in Southeast, which we're featuring this week, KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
For 7 years, Gail Karras worked in one of the best offices in the world. At least, that's what she'll tell you.
I get to see the mountains, and I get to see the glaciers, and I get to see animals. And we can take pictures if it's on a leg of the flight that we don't have a patient.
Karras was a flight nurse for SEARCH, the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. It was her job to travel with and to take care of patients as they were medevaced to Anchorage or Seattle, either 600 miles northwest or 800 miles southeast. But at the end of September, she lost that job.
They brought us into a meeting in our office and told us that we cost too much.
SEARCH changed the way it provides medevac services, and its flight nurses were given a choice. Look for a new assignment within the regional healthcare provider, or find a job elsewhere.
And what I want to do, if I can't fly, would be emergency medicine. There are no current emergency medicine jobs available at SEARCH.
SEARCH is arguably Southeast Alaska's largest private employer, with 836 people region-wide. More than half of those work in Sitka. But a huge portion of SEARCH's funding comes from the federal government, or it did, before automatic budget cuts known as sequestration took effect. SEARCH blames those federal cutbacks for a series of changes it has made in the last several months. It closed its residential substance abuse treatment program. It put an indefinite hold on its community health aid training. Its Front Street Clinic in Juneau was targeted for closure and has only stayed open through independent fundraising.
You make the hard choices now, so the future choices will be more clear-cut.
Charles Clement is the CEO.
When we're forced to look within to decide what it is that is most in alignment with our core mission and vision, I mean, that's really the struggle. And I can tell you, I think it doesn't come down to one person making a decision. It doesn't come down to two people making a decision. It doesn't come down to people making decisions in haste. It comes down to lots of conversations and lots of very difficult conversations.
Clement says the conversations at SEARCH are changing, though.
From what it's going to take for us to survive, which is the conversation we've been having for the last X many months, years, to what it's going to take for us to thrive. And that's something I'm really happy to be talking about.
Just a couple miles from SEARCH's Sitka campus, the picture is a little rosier.
Our employment has grown 15% since 2009.
Hugh Hallgren is the administrator of Sitka Community Hospital, a 12-bed facility owned by the city. Back then, it had about 150 full-time equivalent employees. Now that number is closer to 175. The hospital has emphasized growing its outpatient business and added other services too.
Neurology, urology, cardiology, just to name three. Plastic surgery is a big crowd pleaser here.
That's reconstructive surgery as well as cosmetic, Hallgren adds. Comparing SEARCH and Sitka Community Hospital is comparing apples to oranges. They're funded differently, they serve somewhat different populations, and one is much larger than the other. But still, two hospitals in the same town with different economic pictures at least illustrates how hard it is to track the healthcare industry. Here's what we do know. Last year, more than 3,200 people worked in the healthcare industry in Southeast Alaska. That is up 4% since 2010. And the industry pays out more than $162 million in wages to its employees in the region. That's also up from 2010 by about 9%. To understand economic impact, analysts look at something called a multiplier. It's a measurement of where the money goes after it's spent in the region. Jim Calvin is with the Juneau-based McDowell Group.
We have relatively relatively low multipliers in most sectors of the Alaska economy because we manufacture very little. All of the food and clothes and cars that we consume are manufactured outside of our state. So money leaves pretty fast, but still it does spend a little bit of time in our local economies and creates additional jobs and additional income.
So money leaves pretty quickly, and painting a picture of the exact economic impact of healthcare on the economy in Southeast is really difficult. Still, Calvin says one thing is clear.
It's been one of the fastest growing sectors in the Alaska economy for the last 10 years. Will it continue to grow at that pace? Probably not, but we do expect that as the overall population increases and as the senior population in particular grows, that we'll see increasing healthcare-related activity in the economy.
What does that mean for someone like Gail Karras, the flight nurse we met at the beginning of the story?
If I can't get a job here in Sitka, I have a couple of options. I can become a travel nurse, or I can move away from Sitka. I would rather not move away from Sitka. I really like living here. But if that's what the future holds, then that's what I'll have to do.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
For KHNS News, I'm Tara Bicknell, in for Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Ronco for his contribution to this report.